Hey, beautiful people, and welcome to the Tell Me a Story podcast. I'm your host, Eric Bell. If this is your first time on the show, this is the kind of podcast where I have different people coming on and they tell me their favorite story. And buckle up, because these stories range. From the relatable to the intense to the traumatic, there is something for everyone here. And I know you guys will love these stories as much as I enjoyed hearing them myself. Hey, beautiful people. So this episode, I have something to confess. This has been in my library for way too long, months. This is the episode where I interviewed Deanna Pack, a phenomenal actress who I am a huge fan of her Instagram, and you guys should be too. So follow her, Deanna Pack, D-E-A-N-N-A-P-A-K, and see all of her funny skits, all of her just, she's a stellar actress. But I have not released this episode because the audio is not the way I want it to be. But it's a great story. She gives me this incredible story of her parents escaping Laos and finding each other. It is truly one that like touched my heart, and you guys deserve to hear it. So again, I apologize. I could not fix the audio, but I know you guys will love the story and love her as much as I do. Please enjoy.
It stopped recording. Oh, there we go. Now we're recording. Great.
Because you can record the call on Skype.
Yeah. But yeah, I noticed, here's the thing about comedy classes. They're bullshit.
He wasn't charging. He was just like,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's okay.
I guess it was more for fun. So, I mean, either
for funsies.
Yeah.
Out of everyone I know who has conducted or have been a part of, and I remember when I started doing comedy, which was like 10 years ago, I took a comedy class, and I guess I can say I had a relatively good experience with it, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, the only way to become a comic is to go to an open mic and try it, and do it over and over and over.
See
and
what
over.
Works and what doesn't.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, actually
go through it. Now, if it's like a bucket list thing for you, then I guess a workshop would be fine because, you know, it's very safe.
I know some people that took, my friend a long time ago, she took a stand-up class. I didn't know, I guess they have that. She took a stand-up class and she said, oh, it actually really helped. And it was $500 or some crazy shit. That's like a normal acting class, I guess, in LA.
Yeah.
So she took.
Yeah, it's going to take her like, but the thing with comedy is you spend $500 for a comedy workshop, for a stand-up comedy workshop, it's going to take you years to get that money back, you know, because comedy doesn't pay that well. It pays almost nothing for
until
a
you
long
get
time.
To a certain point.
You need to at least be a host. Yeah. You need to be at least capable enough to host a comedy show or at least be a feature
to get paid.
And you're an open micer, ain't nobody paying you.
Right, so you literally just toss that just because. I mean, even acting, you can still do background and make that back in a couple days.
Yeah. get on like... Get back, get extra work, and get
right,
that
right.
money
and
back.
You're like, okay, cool, I got my money back.
Yeah, but no, stand-up comedy is. Not to say that having a professional comedian helping you write your jokes isn't going to give you a good base.
Right, you might learn, like, okay, maybe stop doing that type of joke, or like,
yeah,
like, or just not like work or something. But
I did get some good notes from when I started and I did that workshop. I didn't spend no $500, but
right.
He gave me some good advice. Guy named Ken Pringle. He gave me some solid advice that like one of the first things you should mention when you get on stage is acknowledging how you look, whatever you look like, because people judge with your eyes first. The first thing they're gonna notice
That's
is
true.
Whatever. So I knew I probably have to have a black joke when I get on stage, especially if I'm doing a show where I'm the only black comic. I knew people were going to notice that, or the fact that people would notice I'm short. And so it's very good to when you get on stage, your first joke is acknowledging that. I'm like, oh, that was a good, helpful tip. But at the end of the day, I learned way more just doing it. So how's Rona treating you? How's the Corona thing treating you?
Honestly, I mean, not the current itself, but I've been great this past week. We shot a whole short film in the last 2 days. I mean,
yeah.
I know nobody's supposed to be coming. It was definitely under 10 people, but it was like with the crew, which is only like Cats and like Omar came to assist one day. It ended up being 7 people. Like
Joe, just
but you know, so someone's gonna be upset, I'm sure. But when they see what we put out, it's I think it's hilarious. But well, don't put this part of the call because we're gonna release it later. But like,
no, this is all.
But it's about it's about quarantine. But yeah, the comedy film or whatever. First, we're gonna make it like an IGTV series in my room, right? And then we're like splitting it up into 4 parts, like a minute or 2 each. But then it's only 7 minutes, so it's kind of a better piece and flows in the whole story instead of just like, oh, this part, you know.
Yeah, I think I'm looking forward to it. I've been enjoying all the. But yeah, I've been enjoying your Instagram.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, those everything else is just like videos, but this is actually like just like a story and shit.
Production.
I mean, like we used Cat's iPhone 11 yesterday. And a little bit this morning, but yesterday he literally sat here all day while we're here, like editing and fixing, you know, whatever sound. We didn't have major mics or anything, but like just fixing the sound and music and stuff. So matching the music with audio and then the regular cuts and stuff.
Cass is awesome that way.
Like, all day yesterday. Yeah. So I'm glad because if we were going to hurt ourselves, if we did that, it would have been terrible. I mean, the jokes might have been funny, but like the editing would have been terrible. it would have been like, even if we had some phone, it would have just been like very stagnant because he did a lot of like pans and stuff. So that it's just funny, yeah. But yeah, with the last 2 days, it's been that like all day.
I'm glad you're staying productive, man.
Like, as if this is a no way, but and for no money. Actually, okay. I mean, I gave Cats a little bit of money because I was like, you drove all the way here. I can't not.
Oh, yeah. Home coming like, from the IE.
Because, right. And then literally because we, there's like 5 people here. So, like, we had snacks and, you know, cheap crafties or whatever. But, like, after that, like, starting to run out, they're here for, like, you know, 2 days. So, I literally cooked for everybody whatever I had. It wasn't anything that great. Like yesterday it was like pasta, and the other day it was like some lentil mixed curry thing. But I was like, this is what we got. So I'm just like, okay, in bulk, you know. And then they're like, oh, this shit is good. I'm like, oh, really? Okay, cool. I'm like, but I'm like, we did not prepare like, well, because I thought we were just gonna shoot, you know, whatever, straight through. They go home because it'd be less than like 6 hours or whatever. Just eat snacks, go home. But you know, ended up being like the first day like 6.5 hours. And I know like they were like starting to get tired, so I was just like, I'm just gonna throw some something on the stove. We're at home, so we were like, do something, and then they everything. Yeah, but I was like, I have to go grocery shopping because I have no food left because I'm like, here we go. I'm losing money doing this.
Oh, dude. So many people are losing money, especially if you're in entertainment. Everyone's losing money.
Right. But
I remember.
I was already losing money, but now I'm making myself losing more money.
Man, I understand. But you have to be creative. I mean, it's like there's a thing with people like, you know, it's definitely a itch that needs to be scratched, especially if you're in the entertainment industry. You have to be creative.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you look at comics, Instagrams and stories, they're all slow. It's one of those few things. It was always problematic being a family man and being a stand-up comic because I got a wife and I got a son. Yeah, all this time management I had to do,
but balance.
But right now, because of this lockdown, I'm, as far as mentally, I'm doing way better than all the other comics that don't have a wife and child, because I just get to have my I get to spend more time with my son, I get to spend more time with my wife,
right.
While other comics, they have nada.
I gotta find someone to watch him.
Yeah.
Be great in my head. I'm like, that should be great. Now you can make content, but they're not. But they're used to performing, so they're not like just not trying to stand up for nobody.
Yeah, I see a few comics doing the. They're doing this whole live streaming stand up,
right.
And like I've watched a bit of them, and some of them I've enjoyed. A lot of my colleagues, but you know, like you're like, mm-hmm. and when people are like, "Oh, are you missing the stage?" Like I desperately miss the stage. It's like, why don't you do live mm-hmm. stream? But like I'm a live entertainer. I need to see your face.
even if it's recorded, mm-hmm. being posted, there's still people there.
I need a stage. I need an audience to perform. And so it's one of those, and I have no idea. That's one thing that all the like theater actors and musicians and comics are like, how long is it going to be until our jobs get back going? How long is it going to be until it's okay to have
a theater huge crowd?
Mm-hmm. Right. Even a small comedy club, right. A small room is at least 50 people. Right. That's a small room.
Right, because that's going to be us, obviously. Like, they're going to slowly, mm-hmm. whenever that happens, yeah. opened up like, oh, okay, 20 people or something. You know, not 200. Like, you know,
exactly. Exactly. Like yeah. Danny, like even spaces like Denny's and like IHOPs and stuff like that, they probably might have a thing where it's like you can only go half capacity. You can only have half the amount of people, so there's space.
Yeah,
that's probably going to be what happens. And so, like, dude, how?
Prepping. I mean, I know all of April is definitely done. We're going to quarantine. But, like, I, for some reason, have a feeling it's going to go into June at least.
Yeah, because we're not even hitting we're not even at our peak yet. We're not even, we're still
going up, right?
Yeah, so it's doubling every day.
So it's not like, okay, we're starting to go down. No.
You know, it's funny. My last episode, the last episode I posted was with this comic, Tommy Lama, and I recorded it weeks ago, and mm-hmm. we were talking about the coronavirus because it hadn't really popped off in the country yet. And so we were like, and our show started getting canceled at the time. We're like, dude, he was in town for some shows, but I was like, dude, my show's got canceled already. And he's like, oh, well, I'm still going.
We're all getting pissed off.
Yeah, everyone's getting like, oh, this is ridiculous. People buy toilet paper. What's wrong with you people?
Right. And now I still think they were stupid for buying too much because the other people need them now. So exactly. It's like, just buy what you need. It was gonna be there. Now I got three rolls left. I'm like, great, thanks. But
man, it's great. I got lucky with my toilet paper because
I got lucky because I ordered before everyone went
nuts.
Super crazy.
I happened to have gone to Sam's and done my restock and like in like a month last month. You know, I got the big thing at Sam's. So I was already good on toilet paper. You know, I didn't need any.
I did Amazon, but now I gotta go on Amazon. It's like a month delivery. I mean, worst case scenario, I got maybe like, there's that, but like, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anyway. So we're already an hour late to the show.
Okay, let's get started.
Let's actually get started. Mm-hmm. So Deanna, thank you for doing this in a very awkward way.
Yeah, that's good. I can hear you. You can hear me.
So we'll see how it turns out in post. But we'll see. And if it like, I'm really appreciative of you doing this. So, do you got a story for me?
Yeah, because you said it could be any story.
As long as it means to you. So tell me a story.
So a story when I went to Laos. So I'm Laotian and Thai, mostly Laotian. My family are from Laos. My mom and dad were immigrants, yada yada, you know, that whole mm-hmm. communist taking over. So yeah, so I had never been, I was born and raised in Oakland, but I'd never been there. And you know, we had a lot here. I only decided to take a family trip. My dad didn't go, but my mom, my sister, me, one of my friends, her husband, and I think a couple of her friends went. But yeah, so we all went. We stopped in Thailand. And then culture shock.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew that it was like a little third worldish, but like it was still more than I expected. I guess it's going to be likes parts of, you know, the trip, but having to not poop but having to use ground or quote-unquote toilets on the ground at the temples, and
Yeah, that's a culture shock right there.
Bucket baths because, and then I met like a bunch of family and they didn't have hot water, but it was hot enough that we didn't need it. But still, there was no.
Wow.
If it was cold, that would have said we would have just like had to boil water and mix it, you know, and then use that to be hot water for the shower. So the first time when I got back, that was like the most thing I had to do. I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna take a shower in a hot shower. But yeah, like we needed it, but you know, you don't want to take a cold shower sometimes. Even if it's hot, right? Kind of like you kind of want like a middle ground. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so and then the served. So instead of just a stream of shower, although some hotels they will still have a stream of shower, but like at you know my aunt's house, we would just use buckets and get the water and wash yourself. So like literally, you don't have water running at all, so that conserves water, and then you rinse with a bucket.
Wow, that's some old school stuff right there.
Right. And I was like, wow, people still do that. And you know what's funny is they still had iPhones.
All right, guys, this is how we're going to do it. You're going to shit in the ground. You shit in the ground and you take a pot of water and boil it. But hey, you got to check out this new YouTube video. Let me go.
Surely, right?
A little backwards in your development, people.
but I guess everywhere in the world has iPhone. Not everywhere, I'm sure, but like seems like for the most part, if they have a place, it seems like they have. If they have Wi-Fi somehow, it seems like they have.
Well, we got major multi-billion-dollar companies that can profit off of making sure everyone in the world is connected. Mm-hmm. What is making sure you have a great sewage system dope for me? You know,
right? You're like, cool. You can drink water. That's fine. You're good. Like,
yeah.
You got a water hose. Take a bath. Go ahead. so yeah, that was kind of a culture shock, but I got used to it. I mean, I was there for like 3 weeks, and my mom, you know, obviously she's from there. I was like, Mom, how do you feel like to be back? You know, doing this. She's like, I don't like it. I was like, you were here for like 20 years. And she's like, yeah. She's like, well, I'm not used to it anymore. So she was.
Wow.
I think at some point, we were all ready to leave. But, you know, while we were there, it was beautiful. You know, for the most part, the people were nice and very accommodating. Yeah. So that part was. The sanitary—I don't want to say sanitary culture shock because that sounds bad.
It sounds bad, but it's not. You know, having a proper sewage system is not a bad thing. You know.
Yeah. Oh, and you know, I'm sure people that travel know, but when you use public toilets, you have to like pay like a few. I guess it would be equivalent to a few cents.
Wow, you gotta pay.
Like to use, yeah, and also you have to carry, like, if you want to wipe your butt with toilet paper or wipes, whatever, you have to carry it with you because they don't generally have it available. Because I don't think, I could be wrong now, but I don't think they have like a tax system. They have people that can just put supplies there, so literally you have to bring your own. And a lot of times when you walk through like street markets or whatever. They have the garbage can for the vendors, but they don't have garbage cans like all around the streets like we do. So that's another thing I was really appreciative about when I came back. Wow. I was like, oh, garbage can right there. Like at every bank, every, you know, there's a garbage can, but over there it's like, and you don't want to litter either because that's bad for the planet. So you literally have to bring a bag, bring toilet paper or whatever you need if you want to walk around and in your own bag, which is terrible. But sometimes if I didn't have a trash can or a trash bag, I would just ask one of the vendors or, you know, the street whatever chefs. I'd be like, can I please throw this in your trash bag? And they'd be like, okay, usually, especially if you buy something from them.
Oh yeah, especially if you're a paying customer.
Right.
But that's crazy. You know, you always get a
for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah, sorry. Little dip. Keep going.
Okay. I was just saying, like, I forgot what you were about to say something.
You were talking about
what happened.
You were talking about as far as trash cans go.
Yeah. So like sometimes you'll walk for many blocks, like even if you're going through like a type of flea market and you're just walking, there are no garbage bags and you don't want litter, so you just like hold on to your garbage the whole time and you're like, oh, okay, one day I just ask someone who has a bag. You don't have your own. Yeah, so garbage cans and showers, I was like, damn, I take this for granted.
Jesus Christ.
anything else related to that before I go to the next part of the story?
Well, you know, that's super interesting because, you know, you always get an arbitrary, you know, just coming from America and just, mm-hmm. you know, you put on the news and they talk about another country. They just kind of say third world, but there's no real sense of context with what that actually entails. And you just think, oh, no money. And it's like, no,
right.
Like
a lot.
That comes with a lot, you know, just the most basic privileges that we have. And the reason we have that is because we even understand, like, at least probably kind of funny that you mentioned this. Because one of the reasons why we have such a solid sewer system and why we have running mm-hmm. water is because it's good for health. It's good for, like, combating viruses and diseases and plagues. Mm-hmm. And we take that dramatically for granted. And that's
Right. And as much as, like, the tax system, there's obviously flaws. But, like, if you have no tax system or no social security, like, that's...
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna end up having nothing,
right? Yeah. Okay.
And I know in Laos, in the schools too, it's a privilege to go to school. You have to, even elementary, not even private, you have to pay to go to elementary school because who's gonna pay for it, right? So, like, his child was in middle school, and it's public middle school, but you still have to pay. And you know, their dollar, I forgot what it's called. Baht is Thai.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot the term. But yeah, their currency is, you know, way less than ours for a dollar. It's like, I think it's like 30 cents to the dollar, something like that.
Wow.
But he was telling me, like, what he has to pay every month for his kid to go to middle school was like around maybe 150 or 200 bucks a month.
Ooh.
But in their currency, like, you know, translated to our currency, in their currency, just imagine how little they make because you can order four entrees from a restaurant for under 12 bucks because that's how little they make. So imagine paying 150 to 200 bucks.
That's just pricey.
For your kids to go to school. Right.
Yeah, that's pricey if that's your average, if the income is like that. So almost no one has education. Like, very few people even have the privilege to have education.
People still do. Like, I think they do value. They try to. Like, my mom, she went to school, but she had to beg her mom to go to school, basically. Because they wanted her to just be at home, you know, do the gardening stuff, or whatever, clean the house. Like, they just want it very traditional. They do that. Don't worry about it. Find a husband, whatever. But she was like, no, I want to go to school. And so they would make her, like, make sure she did all her stuff first before she would go to school. So, like, and then no one's going to make you go to school because it's a privilege. It's not right. So, like, you would have to, like, want to go to school or your parents want you to go to school. And also, because there is no, like, social security, like, if you just had to have a baby and you don't, you leave them somewhere or don't put them in school, like, no one's going to know. Like, so... hopefully you end up with a decent family.
Holy shit.
That sounds really terrible, I know.
But no, I mean, it sounds terrible, but there's bad parents everywhere, so.
Right. But you know, ironically, the divorce rate is really low there.
Oh.
And yeah, and most, I mean, now it's changed a little bit, but for the most part, most people, if they have kids, they generally stay together. And there's no, like, marriage-wise, there's no license, go get government license and do this, do that. They just, like, do their vows, you know, have a ceremony and they commit, like, you know, most of them are Buddhist, but whatever religion, they commit, have their vows, and most of them end up staying together if they agree to, you know, spiritually. But there's no, like, incentive to divorce like we have here. So yeah. Maybe that's another reason why. It's like okay, of course there's infidelity just like anywhere else, but, like, I think because there's no incentive to divorce, like, people have kids together, they're like, we should just stay together, you know? It makes more sense. Probably makes more sense economically.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you might hate that person across the dinner table, but, my God, you might need that dual income.
And if I divorce, quote-unquote divorce, because there's no paperwork, but, like, if I leave them, how's that? It's not benefiting me. I'm not getting a freaking alimony.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe that's another reason why they kind of have a much less divorce rate compared to
possibly
us. Yeah, but isn't it interesting?
That's crazy.
Like, you don't have to do anything. There's ups and downs, obviously.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think there's obviously flaws in having an incentive to divorce in our country.
Oh yeah, well, you know, you can.
Yeah.
When it's pretty, hey,
that's
man, you can get half of that money. I don't have to worry about that. Ain't shit in my account. So, you know, but yeah, you know, it's crazy. You know how people complain about, man, that's so gnarly. How, my God. And it's because there's zero incentive, no help. Essentially, you are on your own. When it comes to that, you know, like, no taxes.
Yeah, and my uncle, the one, my uncle is he's actually doing okay. Like, I don't want to say he's not rich, but there, because he has his own business with, like, I guess he sells food for animals, like, whatever. But yeah, so he started, and he was from, like, the country areas too, but he started his own company and expand it, and so of course they have to buy. So he's selling all the food through his company, so he's, like, doing okay. Like, he took on, like, a couple weeks off to just hang out with us. I'm like, damn, you can do that. I guess you're doing all right. Right. Like that,
that little bit is like, wow.
right. But I just found it really interesting. And yeah, definitely some culture shock, but also it makes you think. Because even my friend, like, when we went, it was a couple years ago, when we went, it was happening here. I mean, it happens every day still, but it was when they're talking about a lot on social media, and about, you know, racism and stuff within that realm. And complaining a lot about America, which she has a right to, but once she went there, it came back. I like America still. We have, you know, I think that's right, doesn't matter. She has some, like, fucked up situations. She was happy to take a shower.
Yeah, it's we got it pretty awesome in this country, and not to say that we don't have problems, and people don't have to constantly work at fixing the problems in this country, but whoo, we got it good. We got it so good. You know, my wife's Salvadorian, so her parents parents are from El Salvador, and damn, I've heard some stories. And, you know, I remember I was listening to the news. This is about, like, maybe about, I don't know, a year and a half ago or so. And I'm at my in-laws, and I'm listening. Look, and they have the news on for El Salvador, and they're, you know, seeing what's going on in their country. And apparently, the government and the local gangs had a understanding, and the cops have decided to start arresting them and try to kind of take a little bit more authority back into the city. And to the country. And so the gangs decided, okay. And every single day they went and killed a bus driver. They walked into a city bus and shot the driver dead. And they did that every single day. you're like, oh, fuck. Well, because it's a great way to just put a break to your economy. you know, because guess who's not going to get on the bus anymore? Oh, everyone who has to go to work. Who guess who's not going to show up anymore? City bus drivers. You know, and you're already talking about a poor country. Most people don't have a car. Majority of people don't have a car.
Right.
And so, like, now no one's going to work. Yeah. I'm like, whoo, we got it good.
Even this whole situation, quarantine, like, come on, you have a house to quarantine in,
You know, and like, there's so many of us that got it pretty good. Like, because I'm not rich by any means. I'm from,
don't lie.
Like, why you lying, man? Why you lying?
You got that open mic check.
I go to Bragg's and stuff, but brother been getting his feature gigs. Yeah, I'll be a feature at an open mic. Oh, thank you, sir, for that $50, you know. But no, that's, but even for someone like me, you know, I got my apartment, I got my family, we're pretty set, you know, I got plenty of food. I don't have to worry about them turning off the water. I don't have to worry about them turning off the lights. I don't have to worry about someone breaking into my house. And, you know, it's relatively safe. And, you know, now a friend of mine, she was struggling, you know. And so there's a lot of people who are definitely going through this in a hard way, you know, people who don't.
I'm one of them, but I'm just kind of like, let me create. While I'm here and lose more money.
You know, but that's a privilege we get to have. That's a privilege, you know.
Right.
We get to just be like, throughout a pandemic, we're just stuck at home trying to find ways to being creative, but we have that privilege. We're not worried about starving.
And I guess I'll go into the next part of six story. Colorism was I knew it existed, of course, but it's kind of still a culture shock. And I know that's kind of everywhere in the world, I guess. But like here, even though of course we have racism, but the colorism here, nothing compared to the colorism even in Laos and Thailand. Thailand's a little bit more open now, but even Laos, like my friend, she's Creole, and you know, she's a little tan, she's not dark skinned, but she's like medium. And they would notice her and be like, oh my gosh, like they probably never seen a black person before. That's one thing. But there's that, but they're also like, oh wow, this is different. And she's beautiful, like she, you know, she models and stuff, so they're like, oh wow, they've probably never seen that before. I don't know. But they're just like, in the culture, like darker skin is not considered beautiful. It's specifically for women, which is kind of terrible when you think about it. But it's just like, if a man is dark skinned, oh whatever, who cares? But he'll be in the sun farming, who cares? But I'm telling you this as well. He said if a woman is darker skin, it's like, oh, she's, you know, she's not the ideal, I guess, of beauty. So a man is like, yeah, whatever, he's an ass. But a woman, like, the paler you are, which we don't even like pale people here,
get some sun.
So the paler you are there, the more beautiful you are considered. And even like they have 7-Eleven everywhere there. If you go to 7-Eleven or in Thailand, they have 7-Eleven. In Laos, whatever, you know, convenience store. Any like convenience store, you can easily find bleaching creams, bleaching face wash, et cetera, just everywhere. And it's not like, it's not anything like, oh my gosh, they have this. Why? You know, it's just there. And no one says anything about it. It's just part of the culture. And even like when I was buying products because I needed more face wash, and I was trying to find things that didn't have bleach in it because I don't want that shit. But I was trying to find stuff, and I can't read in Laos, but you know, my mom can. And we were trying to look for stuff. I was like, I just want stuff that's like organic, doesn't have any of these, ideally no chemicals, but like definitely not bleach. And it was actually hard to find them. Most of the stuff, like even body wash, like you'll have like, you know, the brands that we use, but they'll have the version that has bleach in it over there. Yeah.
And there's like no one you can be offended towards out there.
Yeah, and it's everywhere. So everyone's just like, ah. And yeah. And Dang. as soon as I got off the airport, there was like a big banner or ads or whatever. And one of them was like whitening boost cream. It's like huge. No big deal. It's just there.
Wow. You know.
Right.
I mean, like, and you started the story great. Like, yeah, there's plenty of racism to go around all around the world, and America has its fair share. But you could not come out with a product and put no company would ever even purchase that. Like, no 7-Eleven was like, you want to sell a product that bleaches your skin so dark skinned people can look whiter.
Right.
Yeah, that shit ain't gonna go into my store. Yeah, I will get protests outside my store, right. And they will shut me the hell down. Ain't no way that's happening now.
That's the difference. And when I tell people that, especially people that are darker skin or black or Indian, whatever here, but they haven't experienced that, they'll be like, no, it's like super racist here, light skin versus dark skin. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, we have that. But no, I was like, trust me, it's a different level of colorism. Yeah. I'm not talking about racism. I'm talking about colorism.
Colorism. Like,
yeah.
I mean, like, it's.
And it's weird because they're not like, they don't hate dark skin people. They're just like, oh, yeah, they're nice. Like, you guys are great people. They don't like hate you because you're dark. They just don't think beautiful.
Yeah. It's like someone will compare that to, like, I guess the best way I can compare that to is like how we look at hair in this country. Right. But they look at, because there's so many ways to straighten your hair, to relax your hair. Mm-hmm. Let's get that kink out.
Yeah. And now that's slowly has started to change. The trends, I mean.
Oh, you know, by a lot.
Like the commercials, like now they like are off.
Mm-hmm.
For the natural
hair. Oh, yeah.
The more natural looking, the better. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now.
It's exactly. It's right. But for years, yeah. But for now, actually, on a positive note, like Vietnam just had their first like tan girl on a makeup ad, like ever. So. Wow. And that sounds terrible, but that's a big deal. You know?
Hey, it's a huge deal.
Progress. You can baby steps.
Very damn, you ain't kidding about baby steps.
You're like, now you got someone that looks kind of Hawaiian in an ad. Okay, shit. Vietnam, come on.
Look at that, they're coming up, guys.
Right.
Oh my god, that is gnarly. Crazy.
The Philippines is like that too. But and then the thing is, like, Philippines, they're even darker than the other Asians, and they're like that. That's interesting. It's like the whole country is brown, and you guys are like only showing pale people. Mm-hmm. And ads and media, it's really weird.
For some reason, that is still considered like the default standard of beauty out there. Right. Man, right. Whoo, that is.
Yeah. Oh. And when I told, this is how another reason I knew colorism was really real out there. I was talking to my aunt who lives there, and when my mom and I were explaining, like, oh no, in America, like if you have a nice, like glowy bronze tan, people love that. You know, like if you have a sun-kissed tan here, at least people like that. Like even if they don't like dark skin, but they generally like a nice tan. And over there, they don't even like that. Cause she was like, really? She was so like, it wasn't even like a hesitation of like, it was just like shocking to her. Cause she was like, I've never heard anyone say like anything dark or tan was beautiful before. Like wow. she never heard that. So she was just like, oh, over there they like that. And you're like, yeah.
Wow.
And he was like, it's like a spring break. Yeah, because they're not here for the tan. No.
But that's crazy. Cause that's gonna bleed into how people treat one another. Even if generally people aren't like outwardly hateful. If you have a standard of a beauty and you do not reach that standard of beauty even by a little, then that is going to translate that, that has to translate to you getting a job. That has to translate to how people treat you when you walk in or how they're going to negotiate with you. Right. Oh my God.
And it goes back to, I don't want to bring slavery, but it's almost like the whole classism, I guess. Mm-hmm. But like the poor people are outside, selling fruit or whatever. Of course, they're going to be darker. Mm-hmm. People that have more money are inside with better, quote unquote, better jobs. So they have air conditioning and they're not in the sun as much. So they're higher up. So that's kind of like the whole thing that comes along with the lighter skin, darker skin. Even though it partly is genetics and some people, you're still going to be dark if you work inside the office. Come on.
Yeah.
But like they will try, the people who are like in the middle will try as hard as to not get tanned. And they have umbrellas. Honestly, do help when it's really freaking hot. If you don't, especially if they don't have AC, umbrella helps for the coolness.
Oh, yeah.
So I learned that. I was like, okay, I'm not gonna judge everyone carrying an umbrella because it's super hot. And I'm not trying to get a sunburn either. But the reason they use us because they don't want to get dark. Oh, and you know, they ride bicycles everywhere. Well, of cars, but like the people who ride bikes or motorcycles, they sometimes they don't wear a helmet. I don't know why, but anyways, they need to change that law. So they'll just like be riding their bikes or whatever and no helmets, but they'll have like an umbrella while they're riding the bike because they don't want to get dark.
They don't want to get darker. Wow. You know, it's funny that you said that, like there's this like concept of if you're out, like you're darker because you worked outside in the, you know, Black people have that, had that for a long time. Cause that was that, like that meant you were the field slave or the house slave.
That's what I was referring to when I said slavery.
Oh,
that situation, that separation.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That was always like growing up, you know, my mom's Creole. Louisiana Creole. So she's Black, but she's very, you know, she's fair skinned. Mm-hmm. And my dad is Baton Rouge Black, so he's a darker skinned guy. And so that was the things they heard. You know, that was what, you know, those was the kind of slide comments that they heard coming up. You know, my mom was trying to be white. Oh, my mom, like, oh, she's going to get a good job because she looks white and she's not really, you know, and my dad was, you know, like the field slave. And, you know, that was the things that they got to hear. The darker you were, and, you know, like, and, you know, it wasn't until recently till people, like we were just talking about, like just having natural hair, you know, for Black people, it was like, make your hair look white. I mean, everyone's been watching that Netflix special about Madam Walker. And, you know, it was how she, like, the product she came out with and how there was a little bit of discrepancy in the Black community about, like, hey, you're making Black women's hair look more, you know, white, which is a quote-unquote prettier, you know,
it wasn't that long ago. Look at, like, the days of Aaliyah, you know, like, everyone had their hair straight during that time, all the artists, you know, like, everybody had freaking straight or a version of some pressed hair. Wow. And then, like, now it's like, okay, now you want to change a little bit, okay, cool. But and now it's sometimes to the point where they're like pushing it just to try to make it seem like they're accommodating, which I mean, I guess is good, and if it's genuine, it's good, but if it's not, it's just like, oh, we just gotta make sure everyone's covered. It's like,
well, companies, you know, they're all trying to make money. They're like, what do you want, people? I will make it for you. Oh, you want to look more natural? Well, here's a chemical to make your hair look more natural. How does a chemical make my hair look more? Shouldn't you just clean it?
No, so that's the thing. So now, like, now you have girls who naturally, you know, don't have the coarse hair. Now they're buying fake afros to have that. I mean, I know a lot of actors, obviously, but I'm like, girl, because they're like, I have a couple friends, their hair is wavy because they're probably, you know, have a mixed bloodline, whatever, but they're like, yeah, I gotta have an afro, so I gotta go buy an afro. I'm like, girl, you don't have an afro, but you know, they want someone with an afro, so like, I gotta go buy an afro wig. Like, and oh my god,
now you're not Black enough. Oh my god.
No, that's real, right?
That the pendulum just doesn't seem to, like, it ever wants to be in the middle. It's like, culturally, we're all just trying to get to a point where love yourself, be your natural self, and strive for that. But from a consumer, but when you go into the consumerism, you're like, oh, how can I profit off of that?
Mm-hmm. And so, and crazy. Of course, there's ignorance too of hair. Like, people are learning more now about different hair types. But like, I remember, like one of my friends who had like wavy hair and she's Black, but someone for a photo shoot, like I don't know if it was a client or photographer, someone was like, hey, can you for this shoot just change your hair and make it more like afro, like natural? And she looked at me like, this is my natural hair, like, you know. So she's like, I can't do that to my hair. I can get a wig, but like, because they're ignorant, so they don't know, and they weren't, I know they're not trying to be offensive, but it is kind of offensive.
It is offensive.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you probably should Google or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, they're trying to go where they think the mark is going to be. We want that ethnic fuck, we need to have that more ethnic, you know, yeah. thing, you know.
Right. So I automatically assumed that she already had like that type mm-hmm. of hair.
When
she didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. When my son was born, because like I said, wife's Salvadorian, I'm half Creole. So mm-hmm. my son, you might have seen pictures of him. He's like, you know, caramel skin, curly, sandy brown hair mm-hmm. with green eyes. I was, mm-hmm. when we were living in LA, I have probably been stopped more times than I have ever been stopped to try to get mm-hmm. my kid into commercials or try to get my kid into modeling.
Oh, wow.
Because he's yeah. culturally, because basically he's ethnically ambiguous.
Right.
And because he has this kind of mm-hmm. curly hair, but he's caramel skin, mm-hmm. but he has, and it's
right.
like,
so that's a check. So they got a check mark for all those.
Check mark for all of them. Like, oh, is he Latin?
Like, cool, we got black, white. Cool.
Like, what is he Latin? I don't know. Maybe.
like, got a check mark. We got it covered.
It's amazing how like it just kind of shows how no matter where you are on the planet, no matter what country you're in. Every country has their standard of beauty, and companies right. will spend money to make a product so you can reach that standard of beauty. And we think we got racism because right. we had to deal with hair, but you got places like Laos that are like, no, your skin is wrong. What? like, we need to make
if
you
I just
whiter.
Go, just go to 7-Eleven, get it. Just go to 7-Eleven right there, whatever, the corner store. Yeah.
I'm like, hey man, don't you want that late 90s Michael look? Come on.
oh my gosh. Man. Yeah. So that was the thing. But the good thing, I guess, if you're traveling there or any of those countries surrounding that is you can do a lot for a very cheap amount. Like, you know, it's like very cheap. So yeah, and like go out on a full restaurant.
Wow. Did you feel like a baller when you were out there?
That's really not really because I wasn't balling either, but I was actually surprised when I got back because I was just like, damn, I've been eating out every day. I mean, like when we were at my aunt's house, then we were cooking too, but mm-hmm. but we still ate out a lot, you know, because we went places. So we ate out so much. And when we traveled to different areas, like, you know, we like took his truck and traveled to the mountains. So we got cabins, hotel rooms and things for that. And, you know, things started adding up and I was like, damn, I spent so much money. And when I got back and I was there for 3 weeks, I like calculated everything. Mm-hmm. And the total I spent, not including the flight, but the total I spent there was like around $1,000.
And you were there for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That is.
But
considering you were eating out every night. That's including the hotels?
Including the hotels.
Oh my mm-hmm. God, that is nothing for 3 weeks.
right.
For three
and
weeks.
You, and you have to add like because I stayed there was like a week I stayed with my aunt, but we paid her like I think we paid her like $100 or $200 or something each per mm-hmm. like just to help out, you know.
Yeah.
But still, like, but if you go to like a cheap hotel, a cheap hotel will average about like $20-$30 a night, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not bad. We did have one because I was scared like that there was bed bugs in one of the cheap hotels. So like my friend and I were like, we need to leave. I don't want to take the chance. So we got one for like $60 a night or one of the nights. So we're like, damn, we're budgy here. damn, so we gotta,
man, $60 a night. Where are we in America? we're in a cheap motel in America. Come on.
You're like, shit. We're going
to... I spent $60 a night to go to a Motel 6 on a Saturday.
Right.
That's gnarly. Mm-hmm. Like a grand for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah. We did cook during the week. We were at my aunt's house, but even adding that.
Yeah.
Even if you go like a week anywhere, you'll spend more than that if you like eat out every day, you know.
Anywhere, like if you're yeah. in like just like yeah you're in LA, you know, so
Hawaii,
like
come on
man, if everything you did was eating out in LA, I mean last time I was in LA mm-hmm. I was in Hollywood and my friend took me to this juice spot, you know, a little juice, you know.
Oh gosh.
And I had $10? Are you fucking kidding me for juice?
You know what's funny? Because I recently did my taxes and I was going through my deductions. So I went through like all my bank statements And I was looking at, because I used to work out at this place in WeHo, and right after the workout, I always go to this juice place that was right like underneath it. And I looked out, I was like, oh my gosh, because I was writing down like business meal expenses. And I was like, why is there so many charges at this juice place? And each juice is like $13. So I'm just like, that's where the fuck my, all right, I'm writing this off. I'm just like pre-workout, nutrition, whatever.
I have to keep up. I have to keep up my fitness. So, there you go.
But I was just like, I literally spent so much money there and I didn't
realize it.
Because I was like, yeah, I hardly eat out. At least, lately I hardly eat out. I'm not talking about quarantine, but before that too. But I was like, oh my gosh, this juice place, like $13 every time, man, that's a lot for a juice. You still gotta eat too.
Jesus, but that's LA. That's LA. Yeah, because I'm in Vegas now. Ain't none of that shit here.
Oh, right. We're like, you could have had four pad thais in Thailand already. You've got one juice.
Man, I remember when my friend took me to the juice bar because she was like so excited, like, oh, you got to go here. And then I just got something. And I was like, one, I didn't even like the damn juice. And now that made it even worse because I spent 10 bucks.
No. Did it some sweetener in it? It was just one of those.
Like, it needed some sweetness. And it was just one of those, like, I was a little upset because they didn't even give me like taste testers, so I didn't get a chance to, like, which I should have asked. But at the same time, though, I'm like, how do you get away with spending $10 on a drink? And it's not liquor. I need alcohol in this motherfucker. Right. If you want me to spend that kind of money. But that's LA, though. That's just what is common out there. But it's just so gnarly how expensive things are out here. But we have a lot of privileges, mm-hmm. and we have taxes. So we can...
We do.
But Charlie, here's my question. What do you think was the biggest takeaway you have from actually spending time in places where running water and hot water is an education is a privilege, not a what the country deems a necessity?
I got that. I mean, obviously I was like way more appreciative, but like even the way my parents acted when I was growing up, like all of it made more sense. I mean, like they told me stories, so I knew, but it's different when you're actually there, and they would always like, be like, it's kind of typical Asian parents, but not like super strict as far as like, you got to do this, you got to do math or whatever. I'm terrible at math, by the way. but I was like, for the most part, like a good student. Mm-hmm. And I remember like even when I was like really young, and because my parents didn't have a lot of money, but when I was really young, I guess this my second grade teacher was like, oh, she's kind of having a hard time like in reading class, or just not reading class, but just reading in general, like we feel like she should do a program or something. No, and they literally like found some reading program or separate from school to just make sure like I could read well and spell and all that. And that stuff came back to me because I remember that, but I was just like, oh, whatever, it's normal. But I guess that's not that normal for parents who don't know. Mm-hmm. That's normal. Yeah, but they're like, oh no, we can't have her not being able to read. We didn't come all the way here for this. I'm sure they were like, it's a privilege to go to school. We can't have our daughter being born here and she's like bad at reading like that or writing. That's, she's gonna need this to survive, like, mm. And so yeah,
that's
and then like by the time I got to like middle school, I think I got like third place in like spelling, or like I was like as far as like English and grammar, spelling, anything related to writing, like I'm very like, I don't need a spell check for anything. I'm one of those people, like
bragger.
Ask me how to, unless it's a word I kind of don't really know. No, but like, but that's probably why, though. It's because they kind of forced me to be.
Yeah, right? That makes sense. That makes sense. If you're from a country where education is a privilege and it's not like, or you're from a place where your the schools in your area were remarkably low funded, you're when you get kids, you're gonna like
you're like, this is free. This shit is free. You better learn to read.
Yeah. I would have I wish I had this, you know, but
Right. And also going piggybacking off of that, I just realized crap, I was gonna make a point of this. I forgot where I was going. You know what's happening. I was like, school cut this part out.
yeah, sure, I'll do that.
No, there's gonna be a really good I got it. So going back to the reason or what I also got out of it, besides, you know, learning why my parents were the way they were, is I didn't tell you this part yet, but you know, when they left the country due to the communism and whatnot, my mom and dad didn't meet until they met in San Francisco. So they met here, but like my dad is from the south of Laos and my mom is from like the capital city of Laos, Vientiane. So she had, you know, then my dad, because she's from the city, but from my dad, he had to swim across this river to go to the refugee camp in Thailand because they weren't allowed, like, you know, if they leaving, you get shot or whatever. So my dad literally swam across this river, and I have a picture of it somewhere, but like it's a lot to swim, like that's a lot. But he and his brother swam there, and one of his friends, his friend got shot. He and his brother made it to the other side, and they made it to the Thailand refugee camp, which is where, you know, they help the people to get.
Yeah.
And then my mom, she took a boat with a few people, you know, people that were helping her, to the Thailand refugee camp. She took a boat, but if they heard you or a baby cried or something, then they found out you would get shot as well. So she made it, but she couldn't tell. And then she told me she didn't tell her mother, she didn't tell her family, but she came with her because she knew that if she told her mother, would, and they wouldn't let her go. Because, you know, she literally told my mom, I just have to leave. So she left, and she didn't tell her mom. She didn't talk to her mom until she, and that's it. And her mom was, like, I was there, and, you know, I met her mother. Her mother's still alive now, but when I was there, I met, you know, my grandma. And she was like, I was like, Grandma, did you cry when mom left? She started laughing. She's like, this was a long time ago. She's like, of course. She's like, I was like, what the fuck? I mean, not in those words, but she's like, where is my dad?
Wow.
You know, but my mom, I mean, upbringing mom, I think at that point, my mom was, you know, because she was very traditional at the time, and she wanted my mom to just, you know, do the housework and don't do anything else. Go to school, can, but like get other shit done first.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom was already like, oh, fuck this shit. I'm tired of gardening. I'm tired of this housework. So my mom, and then the communists taking over, destroying stuff. She's like, I'm leaving. I mean, not, she didn't tell her, but that's what her mind was at the time. So she's like, fuck this. So yeah, so my mom like, didn't tell her until she got to America because she knew if she told them and anyone else found out, they would stop and they could. So yeah, so literally they both, escaped is would be the correct word.
That's the correct word.
That's escape. Why, like, after I saw that, so like, when I saw the even the river that my dad swam through, he also said he swam like underwater so that he could avoid being seen. And I was like, well, how did you breathe? And he would say like, oh, he had, you know, a bamboo stick. It's like basically he used a bamboo stick as his snorkel.
Whoa. So he's straight. Man, that's your dad's a beast.
He was a great swimmer. He's like, you know, he's from the country. Like, now, you know, he's older, whatever. But like, when he was young, he was like, hungry for miles, whatever, you know.
Were you ever allowed to be tired around him? You know, did he constantly like, oh, Dad, I'm so tired. He's tired. When I was your age, I swam underwater through a river using bamboos.
I mean, the river, you know, it's funny because he told us the river story when we were younger. We were like, oh, that's cute. Like, we didn't really see the severity of it. I know it sounds terrible. We didn't really see the severity crazy it was until we were actually there and saw the exact point where he jumped off to swim, and we could see on the other border of Thailand. Yeah, like I'll find the picture and send it to you or whatever. But like, yeah, it was far enough to where I'm like, I definitely can't swim that well anyways. Like most people, even if they can, are not gonna make it. Yeah, you probably get tired before you make it anyways. But and the fact that, and then you have to swim underwater half the time or most of the time because you, yeah, no,
because you don't want to get spotted. Damn.
And shot. Yeah, because his friend, because it was him, his brother, who my uncle that lives in Atlanta now, and their friends, and the friend got shot, so that's kind of sad. So they had to escape and they lost their friend.
Oh man.
Yeah, but you know,
that is
horrible. Yeah, he made it. And when I tell the story, he's always joking. He's like, because he'll joke around, he'll be like, man, I was getting tired and I was swimming underwater and I started, like, you know, creatures and weird stuff. And I was like, oh, hell no, I'm not going to be eaten by these things. Like, he's like, if I'm going to die, he's like, I don't want to die like this. He's like, but like, you know, by being bitten by some crazy shit. He's like,
oh, God. That is perspective. Get to the other side. That is so.
And all because they wanted to come here for a better.
For a better life.
And who knows if they. Yeah, if they had stayed there, they might have been okay, you know. It'd just be a different type of government. And now they're a little bit more open. It's still communism, but they now have a movie theater in Vientiane, the capital city of Laos. Before, like, when all this was happening, the first thing of art, you know, the first thing they destroy is art. They destroyed the movie theaters. They took down, you know, anything that was art-related that makes people think, that's the first thing they take away. And crazy. And then, like, we saw, like, certain buildings that used to be, you know, theaters and, like, music, stuff like that. It was all destroyed. And I was like, wow,
man. Jesus Christ.
So art is privileged, obviously, apparently.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because art always, because the whole, like you said, art is about making you think. Art is about challenging the authority.
And they don't want that. Yeah.
No, can't have that. Can't have that at all.
But you can't be thinking. That's too. Yeah.
And can you imagine being a comic?
Oh, no. Yeah. I don't think they have that.
I don't think they have those. I don't think they have those.
I don't think they have that there. Yeah, no. Yeah, I don't think they have a word for that either. They're just like, oh my gosh, yeah, cool. All right, now he's cool. He tells jokes all the time by the at a corner. Okay, cool.
Yeah, we call those crazy people.
Yeah. But that goes back to, like, everything we do, and like even as artists, it made me appreciative of that, because we went to a movie theater in Laos and we saw one of the Marvel movies. It was like Civil War. Yeah, I think it was Civil War. We saw that, and it was cool to see that in another country, you know? Mm-hmm. But the movie theater was kind of nice. It was new. They played it. It was only, like, action movies in America, like, you know, the Marvel stuff and maybe a few other action movies. And then they had, like, you know, some movies from China or and other Asian countries. Anything they played from the U.S., like, it was never anything that was, like, you know, kind of like pushing the envelope. Like, yeah. if it was like something like that makes you think too much, like you would not have something. I'm trying to think of, like, what be though, like, challenges people, but like something that makes you think a lot, that just, it just wouldn't get, you know, because the government wouldn't allow it. Mm-hmm. So like action movies, although now, you know, action movies do have more stuff going on, but mm-hmm. you know, the Marvel and the Disney stuff, like, they're still
mm-hmm. because they're safe. They're safe. They don't question anything.
People watch it. They see
the bad guys are aliens.
Superpowers. Blah 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 blah. All right. So it's like, cool. You're not thinking about too much stuff. Go on. Go on with your life. So that's kind of what is Avengers and, you know, some other soap operas from Thailand or whatever. But yeah, and China's worse, I think, as far as that. I forgot, we had a layover in China before we got back too. And man, my friend was over it, because like I said, she was Creole, and they were just taking pictures nonstop of her, like no permission, anything. Where in like Thailand and Laos, they don't like that. They're still kind of respectful, but like in China, in Shanghai, I don't know, like maybe the colorism is even worse there, but they literally kept taking pictures. And even when we were in Thailand, like the people that would constantly take pictures of her without her permission were people that were visiting from China. So I don't know what's going on with China, but anyway, so it seemed like they never saw a black person before.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that makes sense. My dad actually went to China years ago to because my dad's a dancer, and they asked him to come out there to teach tap dancing, and he said every single time he went out, he was stopped, and people took his picture, people touched his skin, people touched his hair, and
Oh, damn,
at
Corona. No, don't do
yeah. Well, this was
that.
like
Right now, no.
this was like 15
Yeah,
years
no, I
ago.
know.
And
Right.
he was like, it was literally, I met so many people. He was like, majority of people just never seen a black man before, they ever, and or at least maybe they saw him on TV, and that was it. So to actually see me in person, they were like, oh. And so my dad, because my
No,
dad's like
yeah.
my dad's a very loving man. My dad
Yeah.
like takes so much to, get him angry. And so when they would come up to him and just touch his hair, my dad would touch their hair and act like they were the weird ones. And
That's hilarious.
oh yeah,
Oh my
he had to take it in
gosh.
stride, or else you're just going to be offended all day long.
Right.
But it's
Yeah,
so like
it was
culture shock.
interesting.
Yeah, my
Yeah.
God. Wow, those are some
So,
damn good stories. Oh my God.
okay, good. I'm glad, because I was just like, I'm gonna talk about my experience going to Laos, but I don't know if that's like a regular story. It just seems like a trip. It's a trip.
It is a trip, but you learn something. It is a trip.
Right.
For us, it's just a trip, but for them, it was a way of life. And you come from a perspective. You have a unique perspective of it. And so this is a great. That was a great story. No, everyone who comes on my show is always, second guessing the story that they tell. And I have not once had one that was bad. I like they are
Okay,
all.
good.
I mean, my God, you're the river. Oh my God, that's.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I gotta send you the picture, but
Please.
yeah, like it's so funny because I was just gonna like, what am I gonna talk about? I'm like, okay, I'll just talk about a trip. But like, something
I'm
that
just gonna talk about my
changed
trip to
from.
Laos. That's all. Like, and then you tell me about this
Yeah.
massive cultural shock of
Okay.
sewage and what happens when, colorism and your mom and dad's escape from it. Yeah, no, don't worry. Don't worry. That is a totally adequate. That is not a boring story by any means. So, Deanna, what
Cool.
is there something you like? Anything you want to promote? Anything you want, like, far as how people can find you, how people can look you up?
Yeah, all my socials, Deanna Pack, DEA, and wait, I spelled my name right? Like, I'm kidding. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. Yeah, Deanna Pack, DEANNAPAK, on all socials. What else? Yeah, I mean, if you want to hit me up there, just DM whatever comment. I try to read everything at least.
Awesome.
Yeah, and yeah, I'm making more content right now. We're in quarantine, so actually been really busy, but not getting paid, but like busy. So
Don't worry, none of us are.
once the things pick back up, we'll see. But yeah, it's been really good, and I've been pretty fulfilled creatively. I'm glad. I at first I was like, oh no, but it's actually in some ways, other than like the whole sick part of everyone, it's been kind of a blessing in disguise for the creativity part. Because like I know, like even like the we shot like a short film in the last 2 days, and that wouldn't have happened if this didn't happen, at least not now. It just wouldn't have.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense
Yeah.
because, it's one of those things that's interesting that people have been discovering while you're forced to be on lockdown. And it's like, at least with
What are
America,
you
it's so
doing?
much about get on the wheel, grind, 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 grind. And then all of a sudden there's a slowdown. There's like,
You're
no, you
like,
don't get to go
right.
home. And so people who are creative tend to they're taking this a little
Yeah.
in strides, like, oh, okay, you get to relax a
Yeah.
little bit, but be creative, but you don't have to like hurry up. You don't have to,
Yeah.
Because and I imagine that would every like you notice with people who aren't even in the entertainment industry, this breather you get to have.
There is a breather, but at like this week has just been insane. And I was like, my roommate and I were like, why are we so like, this is so much going on. And like, oh, because we did this to ourselves. and even when like at first we're gonna shoot something just like fun and quick, and the idea expanded into basically a short film, and then we shot it, and then we're like, okay, now I gotta write the script and send it to everyone. And then now like then Cats made the call sheet, and then I'm like, okay, I gotta split release forms, because even if it's two people, we gotta have them sign release. We can't have them suing us. So I wrote up the release form, like you know, the way I wanted to, and it started. And of course, like every collaboration, you always have some clash. She was like, Deanna, now are you being too technical? This was supposed to be fun. I was like, it is fun, but we gotta cover our bases. I'm like, still a professional. Like, we gotta cover it, you know, just in case.
Can't turn it off.
Right. And then so, but once we got to shooting and editing, I'm like, oh, I'm so happy we did it. And I'm sure we'll do other things. But for now, I'm just like, yes. We literally just finished editing last night. So I guess. But yeah, so like it's a lot of fulfillment creative wise. And I'm just like, oh, yeah. I mean, we should have been doing this before, but like we didn't have time because work plus, you know, trying to audition and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is yesterday, I got a last minute audition, which I have to shoot today, but it's short. It's like a couple pages, but for my agent. And I opened the email. I was just like, wait, is this real? Like an audition. Like, even if it's a self-tape, I'm like, when will we be shooting? But it said like approximate date in May. So mm-hmm. I think they're hoping if
they're, the everyone's hoping. Ends.
Yeah. And it was something for a streaming network that everyone knows about. So I was just like, oh, they're casting? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
well, all right, then I will send them the tape by Friday. Cool. I was just very surprised. And of course, like my agent is used to me like responding really fast to emails, but like I didn't see it at first because I wasn't expecting any auditions. I haven't had one in like a couple weeks, you know? So I'm just like, oh yeah, there's no auditions right now. And she's like, oh, please send this back. I was like, oh, it's a network. Oh, yeah. Shit. Okay.
I mean, it makes sense. If you're like right about to go into pre-production and then this all hits, you don't want to be like starting from scratch when they lighten up. But yeah, how much longer?
Right. You're like, in case we end up back to normal in May, case. It's April now. So we should just cast now. Right.
Yeah.
So I was just surprised. I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Honestly, I'm thinking more like July is when things are actually going to be back together. Gosh. I know, right? I know.
Yeah, hopefully we get more stimulus checks then because, you know.
Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
Probably not, but like.
Yeah. Well, we will see when. Oh, I'm glad you're healthy. I'm glad you're healthy and the people in your corner are healthy. Yeah, we are definitely lucky in that area. And
I have a friend who got it. I mean, he's recovered now. He recovered now.
Oh,
his
good.
His mom is still coughing, but she's alive. So that's good.
That's great.
But yeah, it's a real thing, you know, but. It's funny because he's, again, like some people are really positive about it and other people like, I think there has to be a medium balance. That's my opinion. It's like, yeah, be aware, be over prepared, but don't panic. Like, if you don't panic, you're going to get sick. Come on, just relax. Like, and also even just getting fresh air. I know we're not supposed to be like out and with a bunch of people, but you kind of need the vitamin D. You kind of need the air. You can't just like be literally just inside the whole time. You can, but like it's probably not healthy for you either.
No.
So there's a balance, and I know people, even when I post my video, there's two people, they're gonna be like, you're supposed to be social distancing. I know they don't live with you, and it's gonna be like, we've been quarantined for 2 or 3 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like we have sanitizer, but we're doing the best. We're doing the best we can without doing absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
You know?
Yeah. And I do think it's a good thing that people are still going outside and going on a run. One of my doctors, she was just advising, like, if you're going to go for a run, do that because it's healthy and it promotes good lung health. And considering this virus attacks the lungs, that's pretty good. Just don't go in big groups and try to go off hours because it will defeat the purpose about social distancing if you go on a popular jogging course at the same time that everyone's jogging.
Right.
That defeats but you should go out and jog. You should try to stay healthy because that prevents that gives you a better leg up.
Yeah.
But I'm glad your friend is recovering.
Yeah. He's 100% now. And he was saying He laughed about it. He was like, yeah, I mean, test positive, but I'm 100% now. They said I could see people now because it's been long enough. And he was like, well, the good thing is now since I got it, I can't get it again, right? But we don't know that for sure.
No, we don't know that yet, bro.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah,
oh yeah, so I'm good, right? I'm good. maybe.
You might have a, you know, like people have, I guess. I'm trying to think of a virus, like herpes or something. You might have a cold sore again. Yeah. Like it's another outbreak.
But hopefully, like, here's hoping it's one of those one and done, because they do say that majority of the country are going to get it. Majority of people on the planet are going to get it. And hopefully we'll be able to do it.
I'm hoping that we are had it already when we got sick, or whoever got sick in December. I mean, I was sick for a little bit in December, so I'm like, hopefully that was it and I recovered.
I'm right there with you. I was like, God, I hope that was the corona. And like, it's one of those maybe.
That sounds terrible, but like, I'm just like, yeah, because I was actually, because I usually don't get sick much even in the winter, and I got sick twice last winter. Yeah. And it was like December and November, like two times. Yeah. And like the last time in December, it lasted about 2 weeks. I wasn't like, I didn't have a fever, but I was definitely sick for 2 weeks. And people around me were sick too. Like people still went to work, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It was
no
one was like tripping about a cough at that time. So like we were still like working. We were just like, okay, cover your mouth, whatever. But like, yeah, I was like, damn, 2 weeks. Like, and then I was like, well, hopefully that was the corona.
But you never know. That could have just been a flu. That could have just been a bad.
It could have been.
And so here's hoping.
Without a fever, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, because like unfortunately, I just heard my mom's cousin. I met him like one time in my life, and my mom, you know, she hasn't seen him in years. He's like cousin through a marriage, and so she used to grow up with him. He got it and died.
Oh no.
Got in and died. He was 61. He was 61, overweight. But I'm like, that's a little too close to home. That's a little too close to home. It's like when it's one of those things where you just read the statistics of like of cases and the deaths. Yeah. But when you're like, wait, mom, you know someone who just died? And I was like, oof, that's not something I want to hear. And so it's definitely real. And like, and it's one of those things that it's crazy how, well, it makes sense that they just don't know enough. They're like, why can some people get it and recover? How come some people can get it and it's barely like, they were low on energy. They had a bad cough and, you know,
Enough tests. My friend actually Cass, who was just here. He was like, he wanted to take the test for it. Just because, and they were like, no, and if the insurance didn't cover it, so it would be like thousands of dollars to have that freaking whatever they do. Then my friend that actually took the test, he was like, yeah, it's really uncomfortable. Basically, I don't know if you've seen the picture, but they put your nose, and it goes all the way down, all the way down to your throat. So he's like, I never want to do that again. So so that's the test. But like, just to get that test, if you don't have any symptoms, they don't want to give you that test for free. Mm-hmm. Come on now. So like, people can be walking around like, I don't want to say me, but like any of us could be walking around. We feel great, and we might be carriers. And
that's what they're suspecting.
We just live our lives.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they're suspecting. Yeah. They're suspecting the reason why it hits the elderly harder, but the young can still get it, and we transfer it. And that's
and sometimes we don't even have any symptoms.
Yeah, we're asymptomatic.
Right, and it's like, okay, well, great. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to go to the doctor just because I'm around people? Yeah. I don't know.
But they just don't have tests. They just don't have enough tests. They said they're one of the reasons why Korea. I think it was Korea. Or I think it's South Korea that they did it. I could be wrong, but if I remember correctly, they actually handled it pretty well. But they made sure they have. They tested like 90% of people, 90% of their population. They did like some obscenely. I don't know. It's probably not 90%, but like an extremely high number. Because like, okay, first let's find out everyone who has it, which just makes sense. It makes sense. Like, know who has it, and then you can.
Yeah.
But you know, we don't. Good luck getting that test. But anyway.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
We started late, but I really, great stories. Deanna Pack, thank you so much. And I can't wait for all this to be over and I can come into town and we can see each other.
Yay. And we should do content wherever.
Absolutely. I would definitely love to be a part of one of your skits, and I would love to help write with some of y'all. That would be so much fun.
All right, cool. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Tell Me Your Story. Let's see you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
How do you end the call?
Yeah, go for it.
I was like, I just press EB.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, I know.
Or I like the red end call button.
Oh, I don't have a red. It says
right at the bottom. Well, that's me. But
all right.
I think I'll keep the part in.
All right. All right.
See you.
All right. Cool. Okay. Cool. All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that's the show. Thank you so much for listening. I look forward to giving you guys more stories, more guests. You guys keep on listening. Our numbers are growing every week. And it's thanks to you guys. So please continue to like, share, subscribe. If you want to support other ways, you can follow me on Instagram or Facebook. My handle is Bell Comedy. That's also my Cash App handle, $BellComedy, one word, if you want to support other ways. We will have a Patreon up that'll be a little bit easier for you guys to directly donate. And thank you for listening to Tell Me a Story. Love y'all. Bye.